You know, I'm tempted to begin with a joke or a story, but or even a video, but in the beginning was the Word. Amen. So let's read the Word and hear what God has for us this morning. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm reading from the ESV. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Verse 14, And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. God, people said, Amen. See, God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, God said it. Whether you believe it or not, that settles it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God's word is always true. Now notice And through this passage, there's one phrase that kind of is repeated again and again, and which is that you shall live. God is the author of life, and he wants that life to be shared with each of us, his creation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so no matter what situation you're going through, what circumstance that you're in, I want you to know that there is hope. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Because God said so. You know, the world outside has a hopeless end. They are waiting for World War III to happen. They are waiting for the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Not the church. We are waiting for Christ to come back.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
We are waiting for the rapture. We are waiting for glorious things to happen. We are waiting for an eternity with God in heaven.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have a hopeless end. We in fact have an endless hope. Can you say amen? So when the world outside has a hopeless end, the church of Jesus Christ has an endless hope. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, I'm super excited this morning, very encouraged in my spirit, because God is so good. Hallelujah. Yes, God is great, but he is also good. A lot of people don't know that. They say God is great. Yeah, God is great, but God is a good God.
Yes.
He does things, you know, on behalf of his children. He's so good. He's so good to me. He's so good to you. Not only is he good, he's faithful. He's merciful. He's just. He's a loving God. He's kind. He's a provider. Amen?
Yeah. Yes.
He's a provider. Think about it.
Yes.
Even before the, you know, Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree, God knew it and he planted that tree. That one day Zacchaeus will climb the tree. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Even before Abraham, you know, started the journey to sacrifice Isaac, God prepared a ram right there to be caught in the thicket. Are you with me?
Yes.
Before your need, God has already provided. He has made a provision for you. That's the God we serve. He's such a good God. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
He is a way maker. He is a provider. He is a deliverer. He is a healer. Amen. He is the risen God. He is the God who can do miracles. If only we believe. Amen. The age of miracles are not over. Because God is still alive. Hello. The risen Lord is still alive. That's why the age of miracles is not over. God is always and always will be a God of miracles. I don't think we need miracles once we get to heaven. Hallelujah. We'll be living a miracle at that time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We don't need miracles to prove anything at that time. We'll be in a constant wow. You know, you see a miracle and you say wow. In heaven, you look at the face of Jesus, it'll be wow. I don't think we'll close our mouth. We'll be open in praise. Hello? Our mouths will be open in praise and saying wow to see the risen Lord. Hallelujah. God is amazing. See, I'm not trying to hype you up this morning, but I want God to ignite a fire within our hearts this morning. That fire that will never go out. I want us to God to ignite a faith and a hope and a trust in God that has never happened before. Because God's word is true, and that's what God's word does. It ignites something within us. It stirs up something within us. Amen? And so I'm here to tell you that God is good and he has a plan for your life and my life. Maybe you feel like giving up. But I want to tell you. Maybe this is for somebody. Don't throw in the towel yet. Don't give up yet. You know, though it may appear that all hope is gone. It may look like that. It's so dry. It's so dead. Nothing can live now. There's no hope. You may look like everyone else is doing well and everyone else is finishing the race without you and you're still struggling and you're finding hopeless situations all around you. I want to tell you this morning, in the light of God's word, it ain't over. Because it's not over till God says it's over. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So don't give up just yet. Today, many want to quit due to various situations and trials facing their life. However, God has blessings for you. And if you don't quit, you will see his promises for your life. If you don't give up, if you hang on to the promises of God, it'll come through in your life. Mm-hmm. You've got to say yes and amen and believe it. Amen. And then it will become a reality in your life. God said it, that'll happen. Because that's God's part. He's a promise keeper. But you want to see things happen in your life, you've got to believe it, receive it, and say yes to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that's when it becomes amen into your life. And you know, so be it. That same God who says let there be is also the God who says amen to that promise and says so be it, it'll happen. Amen. That's how it is. So don't think that God has left you. Don't think God has abandoned you. Yes, you may have hopeless situations at the moment, but a hopeless situation because of what your doctor has said, a hopeless situation because of what the company has said, you may be laid off very soon, you know, you can lose your job anytime because of all the circumstances that say the economy is going to go down, prices are going to shoot up, a lot of things that can look so hopeless right now. But I want to tell you, no matter what your situation is saying, no matter what the newspapers are saying, I want to tell you that God is at work in your life and my life at this very moment. Hallelujah. Amen. God is at work. So share the good news. Tell somebody. God is at work in your life. Tell somebody next to you. Amen. Amen. To the brother that you like, to the sister that you like, yeah? Sitting next to you. Alright? Now you can turn to the brother that you don't like and then say, God is at work. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. God is at work in your life, in my life. He's at work. He's at work. So don't give up yet. Amen. Just because things don't work exactly how we planned doesn't mean that God is not at work in your life. No matter what your situation is saying, I can tell you, God is at work in your life at this moment. I want you to believe it. You're a work in progress. He is at work in your life. Amen? He is at work. Now, the visions in our text today in Ezekiel 37 consists of actually a dialogue between God and a man of God. God and the prophet Ezekiel in the case of the valley of dry bones. Interesting passage here. Now, whenever you see bones, you hear bones, one thing is sure. Bones just means that once there was life. Once there was life. That's what it means. So once there was life, now it is dry, it is dead. It's not living anymore. Now what do? We want to see it revived. We want to see it change. We want to see a situation change. And that's exactly what happens in this place. It's a valley of dry bones. A place is a graveyard. It's a cemetery. They're all dry bones. In fact, the Bible says they're very dry bones. When the Bible says very dry, we better believe it. It's very dry. Right? That means it's been a while. That it's just dead, dry bones. And you look at it and say, there's no hope. Many times we look at our own situations and we say, there's no hope. Abraham and Sarah must have looked at each other and said, there's no hope. The disciples looked at each other after Jesus died and probably must have said, 3 days, no hope. Mary and Martha had said that when Lazarus had died after 3 days. That's why they came to that place where he told Jesus, if you had come a little earlier. Because they gave up hope. We all give up hope. We come to that place and we look at a dead situation, a great situation, we say, that's it. I got to move on. God says, it's not over. There's something that I can do. Now, I don't know who this message is for, but I want to tell you, it's not over till God says, it's over. Now, the symbolism is of people whose hope has died, has been dead for a long time. This is a situation where there is no future, just bones, just body that is gone. And now all that remains is bones. No signs of life at all. Now, you can compare that to situations in your own life. And the Lord asks him a question that God is asking you and me about our own situations today. Can these dry bones live? Now God knows the answer, but he still asks that question. Mm-hmm. Just like when Adam and sin lost the plot and they sinned, God asks the question. It's not that God didn't know the answer. What is the question that God asks? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Mm-hmm. God knows the answer. But God wanted Adam to know the answer of that question. Adam, where are you? God wanted Adam to know where he was in asking that question. So God knows exactly the answer to this question. Can these dry bones live? God knows the answer. But he wants the man of God, he wants the prophet to know in his spirit that he needs to know an answer to this question. Can these dry bones live? Are you with me? So Ezekiel looks at the bones and he sees no possibility of a return to life. He said, there seems to be no human solutions at all. I'm at my wit's end. For this looks like a hopeless situation. And he explains it, for they are very dry. Not just dry, very dry. Not just dead, dead for ages. So you can imagine, there's nothing of life in all of that that you can see. And you look at situations and you see that very dry, very dead, lifeless. And it's only you, God, that knows. I like that response. Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. Now, why did he say that? You see, he believes the situation is out of his control. He believes and he acknowledges this situation is beyond human comprehension. His mind can't fathom. He can't understand a way out. So he says, God, you know. You know, the problem with man is many times, the problem with us is that we always think, we don't say it, but we say, I know. I know the solution. I know the answer. I know the way out. That's the problem. But the moment we come to a place of surrender, the moment we come to a place of saying, God, I give up and you take over. I don't know, you know. I can't, you can. You can. God can. And that's where the prophet is. The Lord knows if it's going to work out for you. The Lord knows if you're going to be healed. The Lord knows if you're going to be delivered. Only God knows. God knows whether you're going to make it or not. I know that you don't know, but God knows. There are some situations that we face in which human solutions will just never work. The only thing that will work will be hearing from God. One voice, one word, one sound from Him that can change everything. And that's exactly what happens. Only God. So no matter what your situation is this morning, I want you to write over that, underline that. Only God. Only God. Only God can do something in your life. So I brought the word of God to you today because God has not left you. God has not abandoned you and me. We think it's over, but it's not. You see how the situation changes. Ezekiel hears from God. He hears the word of the Lord. Ezekiel receives instructions from God that he must prophesy, that he must speak into the situation. We at Life Center, we believe in speaking life. Amen?
Yes.
We need to speak over situations. Even if it's dead, lifeless, we speak life over it.
Jesus.
Amen? Impossible situations, we speak God's possibility over it. Because we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. We serve one who conquered sin and death. We serve the one who conquered Satan and crushed him under his feet. We serve a risen Lord, and so we believe in miracles. Ezekiel hears from God. But listen, he had to go down to the graveyard and tell dead dry bones that God's word says it's not over. And that takes faith. To go right down into the middle of the situation. It takes faith to go down to an ICU. But ICU is a place where God says, I see you. Things that even the doctors and the nurses can't say, I see you in that situation. No place is without hope. And this morning, I want the Spirit of God to underline that in our heart. So Ezekiel goes there. But God is not true. We come to places where it's hopeless. I know you've lost hope, but God is not finished with you yet. Ezekiel goes down to the valley of the shadow of death and tells death that God is going to enter into them. He's going to speak life back into these bones. Listen to how transformation, restoration all started by hearing the word of God. That's why I said the word was the beginning of the process. And the beginning of the process of your miracle is also the word of God. Not some charismatic preacher who's going to come. Don't wait for the next revival meeting. The word of God is key. It'll all begin with the word. That's why you need to go back to the word of God. So Lord, give me a word. That word will be starting, kickstarting that process of miracle in your life. Listen to the transformation. Listen to the restoration. It all started with the hearing of the word of God. The beginning of the process was the word that brings these hopeless bones back to life. He's just speaking life. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. You may be in a situation that looks hopeless this morning, right now. You say, it's not going to happen. Yet, human terms, it's not going to happen. Humanly speaking, it's not going to happen. But there is the supernatural. What the natural can't do, there's a supernatural that can do. What earthly things can't do, heavenly beings can do. Many times we restrict our lives and even our Christian life with the natural. There are things that God can do, and I want us to believe that. It's exactly what happens right here. So it may look for you that the end is near. It's time to give up. It may look like as if you've lost it, but it doesn't matter. What it may look like, the final outcome will come when God says it's over. Man may count on you out. The enemy may say you lost it. The chance for victory may look impossible as of now. But I want you to know it's not over till God says it's over. Your turnaround comes when you begin to hear from God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Let me ask you, church, who is talking to you? What voices are you hearing? What are you processing through the week? Which report will you believe? You can believe what the newscasters say, or will you believe the report of the Lord? You can believe what the doctor's report says, or you can believe the report of the Lord. The doctor's report may say, and it may be true that, you know, it's there. It's malignant cancer. It's a tumor that we can't do anything about it. But the Lord's report says, by His stripes you are healed. Which report will you believe? The psychologist will turn to you, the psychiatrist will look at you and they will say, well, impossible situation, you're an impossible case. But God says, even a man that is full of demons can be set free, and he's sitting in his right mind when Jesus comes and meets with him. You see, God turns our situations around, and you and I need to believe that. So you have to hear from God if you're going to be fruitful. If your marriage is going to live, you have to hear from God. If that relationship has to work out, you have to hear from God. If that business prospect has to take off, you have to hear from God. See, words have power. And so you speak the word, preach the word, prophesy the word, declare the word, confess the word over that situation, and you'll see things happen. God asked Ezekiel to preach, to speak to dry bones. But notice what happens when he preaches God's word to these bones. I know, you know, in the human mind, it may look ridiculous. Imagine if God tells you to go to a valley of dry bones right now. Mm-hmm. Or we'll start praying in tongues all of a sudden. We suddenly will get so spiritual. Amen. Did I hear right? Or maybe it's the devil speaking. You know, we have all sorts of excuses. Let me go to my family and first get confirmation from somebody. Let me dial a prophet. You know, did I really hear from God? It's just my mind playing tricks. Ezekiel had no choice. He just goes there. And then what? Speak to dry bones. Doesn't make sense. A lot of things that God says doesn't make sense. How many know that God doesn't go with common sense? He goes with God's sense. And that's what the Bible is all about. You cannot live a life of miracles if you're going to live with common sense. And that's why, you know, Jesus comes, you know, after 3 days he comes to raise up Lazarus. Because common sense is over. You with me?
Yeah.
After 3 days, it can't be common sense anymore. So even the Jewish understanding, they had this thing, you know, you can, the resurrection of the dead was not a, you know, a new thing. That's why Jesus says, okay, your religion says all this, okay, I'll come after that is over.
Yeah, yeah.
On the fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Lord wants to prove himself to you that there are things in your life that you can't do, humanly speaking. That's when our eyes must be on God. That's where faith kicks in. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says that something happens in the middle of the valley. What's happening? There's a noise. Hallelujah. There's a noise. There's a rattling. There's a sound. Any other passages of scripture that comes to your mind where there's a noise? Think about the day of Pentecost. There's a noise that comes suddenly. This is a suddenly moment. Suddenly, there's a noise. These are suddenly moments. And when your breakthrough comes, there's a suddenly moment. All of a sudden, it'll just happen. There's a suddenly moment. Wait for God's suddenlies. It'll happen in God's time. Amen? But when he's ready to receive this, God does a miracle. Praise God. There's a noise. There's a sudden rattling sound. Now, who's hearing? The miracle is not just happening with the prophet. The miracle is happening with the bones. Who's hearing the sound? Not just Ezekiel. The dry bones begin to respond. The dry bones are hearing. Hello? So dry bones have ears. Dry bones have ears. If only you can prophesy, maybe you've never heard this before, dry bones have ears. If only you can speak, mountains have ears. Mountains have ears. You've got to speak to the mountain, it'll move. Mountains have ears. I'm speaking figuratively. You can understand the language. They will hear you.
Mm-hmm.
They will respond to your prophesying and speaking life over situations. If only you can speak, only if you can command. Your womb has ears. Money has ears. They can hear. Hello? Cancer, fibroid, diabetes have ears. They can hear if you speak. If you speak life, they can hear. If you can preach to them. When Ezekiel comes face to face with dry bones, he was only asked to do one thing. Because they have ears even though they are bones and very dry. God knows they will respond. God knows your situation can respond. God knows that impossible situation can respond and bow down to the name of Jesus. Because you are speaking life as a man of God, as a woman of God. You are speaking life into that situation. That's what God did.
Yeah.
In the beginning, everything was lifeless, empty, dark. And into that lifelessness, into that darkness, God spoke, let there be. Speak life. That's what the Father did. That's what our Abba did. Yeah. He spoke life. Yeah. So this morning, I don't want you to stand in fear. I don't want you to stand doubting. Rise up in faith in your spirit and speak life into that situation. It's going to come up. God can raise the dead. God can heal. God can deliver. God can break the shackles. God can break the addiction. God can break that bad habit. God can break that curse. God can do anything that you think is unimaginable. He can do it. Because that's the God that we serve. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Prophesy to your situation. Look at verse 4. Prophesy to that. Speak life to your situation, to your womb, to that dead situation, to that dry situation. Speak. Because they respond to prophecies. Every situation, circumstance has ears, and they are capable of responding to prophecy, to what you speak with faith and by faith. They may not have physical ears, but they have spiritual ears. Your situation awaits instruction. Your situation awaits direction. The spirit buying and selling in your life awaits order. They're waiting for a command. It's going to happen and you're going to say it. If you fail to give an order, it'll remain like that. Or if you think, oh, I'm going to be like this for life. You, that's your problem. You got it. The doctor said it's going to be lifelong. Oh, yeah. You want to take that? It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whose report will you believe? Ephesians 3:20 emphasizes this by saying, according to the power that is at work within you.
Amen.
There is a power that is at work within you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the power that was at work in creation. That's the power that sustains heaven and earth. That is the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. That is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit now lives in you and me. That same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's no hopeless situation in your life as a child of God. God can turn things around. God will work according to the power that is at work within you. I speak about the power of proclamation. There's a power of confession because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You may have heard this before, but I'm saying it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you speak matters. Speak life. Many Christians are not aware of this amazing potential that's available to them. The word of God has powerful relevance in all situations. From personal needs, which we may think as trivial things, you know. From personal needs to international crises and global issues. God's word has power.
Yes.
And God's word can change situations. No matter what we are facing. You know, we look at some world leaders and we think, oh, he's the richest guy on earth. He's the most powerful man on the planet. How much time does it take for a heart attack? Hello? It doesn't take long. That powerful person can't take the next breath without God allowing him to.
Yeah,
who's in charge?
Yeah.
Not nations, not superpowers, not nuclear powers, not the richest or the most feared persons on the earth. Who's most stronger and powerful? The one who's seated on the throne.
Yes.
Our times are in His hands. So remove that worry from your life. I'm getting there. Listen, the word of God has powerful relevance in every situation you're facing. Big and small. No matter what we are facing, as we learn to proclaim the word of God into our circumstances, God's creative transforming power is released into that situation. Every believer has both the privilege and the responsibility to proclaim God's word. Couple of scriptures. Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11. Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11. Let me just read verse 11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. Verse 11. Isaiah 55 11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose. Hallelujah. It shall succeed. I shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When God says something, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. It may not be on your time scale. It may not be on your schedule, but it'll happen. Hallelujah. It'll happen in God's time because God has said it. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a beautiful passage. 2 Peter chapter 3, particularly in the light of what we are going through. I want us to look into that passage. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, look at verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth formed out of water and through water by the word of God. You know, with the situation that's going on right now, people are all predicting the World War 3, as if somebody decided it'll be only World War 3 that will finish everything. Who told you? Who said that there can't be World War 4 or 5 or 7? Somehow we've got this growing up, everything is going to be over in World War 3. As if we determine human history. I want to tell you, I want to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to correct that fallacy from our minds.
Yeah.
That wrong thinking that news cycles will put in, oh, it's going to be World War 3. The other day, President Joe Biden leaned to his microphone and said, it's going to start the World War 3. And the whole world was, as if he's going to determine human history. Come on. Read the Bible. The Bible says, for they deliberately overlook this fact. The world is overlooking this fact. What fact? That God is the one who formed everything.
Yes.
That God is the one who sustains everything. That God is the one who will eventually destroy everything. Not man. You can have your nukes against each other, but don't think that you are in charge of human history to destroy the world. As if, you know, you are made, you know, Lord of destroying the world. Who gave us these ideas? I've also grown up with this. It can cause some fire, but only God can destroy the planet. Why do I say that? Let's read it. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water. Who did the formation of heaven and earth? God. And through water, how? By the word of God. That's what I'm coming to. By the word of God. Now listen, follow that logic. Follow that statement there, okay, and the thought. And that by means of these, the world that then existed. How does the world exist? By the word of his power. The same word that created heaven and earth sustains heaven and earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That should move fear from your heart. Your life is not in the hands of a dictator. Your life is not in the hands of your boss. Your life is not in the hands of some, you know, superpower. No, your life is in the hands of Almighty God.
Yes.
The one who created, the one who formed, the Bible says, the one, you know, that exists, everything exists in him and through him and for him. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and then perished. Who's in charge of perishing, destroying? God. When God wants to destroy the earth with the flood, he did it. And when he wants to destroy it with fire, that's how it's going to be. The Bible says so. He'll do it. That's probably the most comforting thing you heard this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thought World War III, nuclear. Oh, no. They're not in control. God is. That's what the Bible says. Notice those words, formed, existed, perished. What God created, he knows how to control. And he knows how to destroy. You know, the irony of all this, the same people who are talking about nuclear wars are the same ones who will say, save the planet.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Environmental, we are so concerned. Children have to do projects on heal the planet, save the planet. Pop stars will be singing heal the world. And then we're talking about nuclear war. Oh, there's an irony there, right? There's a hypocrisy there. You actually don't believe it. You either believe one, either humans can save the planet or humans can destroy the planet. I would say both are wrong. I can't use any other words from the pulpit. You understand what I'm saying? Both are wrong. We can't save the planet, we can't heal the planet, we can't destroy the planet. Because the Bible says God's going to do it by his word.
Yeah.
The same God who said, let there be, and everything was created, the same God who sustains everything by the word of his power will be the God who will destroy everything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Whose report will you believe? And that by means of those, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. By the same word, verse 7, by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. That's what the Bible says. God's in charge, not you and me. God's going to destroy what he created. There are things that happen. God allows things. Lucifer to rebel. Adam and Eve to sin. Cain and Abel to fight. And all the wars and the genocides are allowed by God. But when time comes, God will wrap up human history, not man. Get that in your spirit. Get that deep in your spirit. Let the Spirit of God underline that in your heart. Your life is in the hands of Almighty God. And that's why we must continue to speak God's word. Because his word creates, maintains, and abolishes everything that you and I see around. Both heavens and earth. Think about it. Nuclear powers can destroy maybe some parts of the earth. What about the heavens? What about the heavens? You see, God is in charge of heavens and the earth.
Yes.
That's the God we serve. So no more fear. Walk in victory. Walk in faith. Live your life as if Jesus is coming next second. Plan your life as if he's not going to come until the next century. Yeah? You with me? Plan your life in such a way.
Yes.
That he's not going to come for the next century. Live your life in such a way he's going to come the next second. I may not even close the preaching. He can come. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. And to all those people who put deadlines and timelines, they're all playing God. 2022, this is going to happen. 2030, 2050, they all keep giving dates. Don't play God. Jesus said, even the Son of Man doesn't know the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Father's hands. Don't play God. Don't waste your time on all this. Live your life in such a way that pleases God.
Yeah.
And look for his coming. Amen?
Amen.
So proclaim, shout forth, confess aggressively. And declare God's word. Because that's what happened. Learn to tremble at God's word. Learn to take hold of God's word. Mm-hmm. Learn to exercise authority. That's what Moses did. You know, the rod of Moses, first time he gets frightened. Moses got frightened. But then he grasped the rod. He took it by the tail, right? He took it. He grasped it. And then he stretched out the rod. Maybe you're standing before the situation and you're doubtful, you're frightened. You know what? That has to change. You've got to grasp it. You've got to take it. That authority that God's giving you. Then you're going to use it. Stretch the rod. That's where miracles happen. That's where the Dead Sea will part. Amen? That's where the Red Sea will part. That's where the miracle will happen. The breakthrough will come. Stretch out the rod with authority. Overcome negative thinking. You know, all your needs will be met. There's protection as we proclaim God's word. Needs will be met. All these affairs of the world will be taken care of. Opposing forces will be taken care of. God's going to deal with all of that. The same God who spoke, let there be, over emptiness, over darkness, is the God who lives inside of you. Abraham spoke God's promises over Sarah, over the barrenness, over the deadness, and things started happening. Because the Bible commends him for his faith. How does faith come? By hearing. So Abraham heard and he confessed and he spoke it. They confessed it. They spoke life and life happened. And as an ambassador of Christ, what you speak on behalf of Christ matters. So speak life. Amen? Speak life, and it will happen. As soon as Ezekiel prophesied, what happens? Bones began to sort themselves out. As you begin to speak, your situation will be sorted. It's not over for you. Jairus thought that it was over. His daughter was dead. But God said it was not over. The man at the pool of Bethesda thought it was over because he couldn't make it to the water. All these years he's been waiting, but he couldn't. God didn't say it was over. Everyone thought it was over for Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. But God didn't say it was over for him. In fact, I like that story so much. Somebody said, the lions were not hungry. Somebody said, the lions were not hungry. That's why they didn't eat. Well, you read the next verse. When Daniel is taken out and the fellows who conspired against him were thrown into the den, even before the bodies came down, the lions ate. That means the lions were that hungry.
Yeah.
Yes or no? Read that passage. It's very strange that people say the lions were not hungry. The lions were so hungry that they couldn't even come and lick Daniel. God didn't allow it. Imagine you have 5-star food in front of you, and you can't touch it. Somebody has to say grace. I mean, we've all been there, right? Hello. Somebody has to say grace, so we wait. Imagine a whole night waiting for that food. The lions were waiting the whole night for that food. Can't touch Daniel. The moment he's out, some other fellows come. Let's not wait for them to touch the ground. They jumped and killed them. Read the passage. Go back and read that passage. That's exactly how it says. The lions were very hungry. See, God protects you in the lion's den. It's not over. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar thought it'll be over with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but God said it wasn't over. Job's wife thought it was over. Encouraged her husband, curse God and die. God says, no, it's not over. And I don't know what the future holds. I know the one who holds my future. Mm. It's the same for you. You may not know what the future holds for you, but you know the one who holds your future. It's the Lord Jesus. And most people think it's over. God asks, did I say it was over? The Bible says, weeping lasts for a night, joy comes in the morning. It's not over till God says it's over. It's not over because a marriage can come back together. A family can come back together. A church can come back together. A business can come back together. A dream can come back together. Hope can come back together. Because we have an endless hope in Jesus. Because it's not over till God says it's over. So keep fighting, keep praying, keep fasting. Because it's not over. Keep pressing, keep progressing, keep moving. It ain't over. Keep reading, keep interceding, keep believing, keep trusting, keep trying, keep travailing. Because it's not over. Keep living, keep giving, keep serving. As we sang that song, the greatest thing in all my life is knowing you, loving you, serving you. Keep loving him. Keep knowing him. Keep on serving him. That's what God wants us to do. Because it's not over. Keep fighting till the victory is won. So when people say you can't, remember he can. Acknowledge, yeah, I can't. I can't do anything about it. But God can. Yes, he can. When you don't know what to do, remember he has the master plan. God has the master plan. And on this day, the Lord says to you, it ain't over till God says it's over. I don't care what it looks like. It's not over till God says it's over. And God alone has the final say. Because an empty tomb declares it's not over till God says it's over. So life, to some, is a hopeless end. For us who believe, it's an endless hope. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe pastors can help us with that song again. The song on miracles. Let's believe it. Death can come to life. But let's